Good morning and welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on the 10th Perek Yud of Sefer Yeshayahu. And actually the first section of this Perek, the first four Psukim, actually belong in the previous Perek. As we know that the chapter headings or the chapter division was not introduced by a Jewish source, and so therefore there's sometimes times where it deviates from what really is actually going on. The reason why we know this actually belongs to the previous Perek is because this is stanza four of the crimes that Yeshayahu is pointing out in the generation he's witnessing. Once again, Yeshayahu is talking to the generation of Ahaz, a terrible generation which has really cozied up to Ashur, to Assyria, both politically and culturally, and he's talking about the things he sees in society. The reason why we know it belongs to the end of that is because this each of these stanzas ends with the same refrain, which is Bechol Zois, despite this, Loshav Apoy Hashem, his anger has not been abated, and his hand is outstretched for destruction. And that was the same refrain we've seen in the last three stanzas at the end of the last parak. So at this point, he is pointing towards the idea of the misuse of judgment, and he talks about a society which is signing false documentation and mistreating the poor in society. Those are not protected necessarily or sanctioned by society, by using or misusing their powers and in legislation. So Yeshayahu turns to these people and he says, "Mata suliyom hapukuda, what are you going to do on the day of reckoning? Because there is a Shoah coming. Shoah we use today to describe the Holocaust, but in the way the Tanakh is using it, the reason why we've chosen that word is because it means the day of darkness, as the Mitzvah says it, or Rashi says, it's a day of destruction that's imminent." He said, what are you going to do? You're going to call out to Hashem and say, "We're in need, help us, help us, help us. We're so poor and we're so anguished." So Hashem will say, "Well, what happened when there were needy around you? What happened when there were people who were desperate? And you misused and mistreated. What happened then?" That's what Hashem's going to ask us then. And Yeshayahu furthermore says, "What's going to happen when where are you going to leave your wealth, your ill-gotten gains that you decided to cheat people of? And where are you going to put that exactly?" Says Yeshayahu. "Where are you going to stash that when you're being taken away in chains?" That's the message that Yeshayahu leaves, and again closing this four stanzas or part of a addressing the generation that he sees out there, corrupt generation. This closed that section. The rest of this parak is dedicated really to the theme of really talking about Ashur, Assyria, coming back as a power. So let's just focus on his general idea. And it's interesting because let's try to put ourselves in Yeshayahu's shoes for a moment. Yeshayahu is now witnessing a generation which has cozied up to Assyria, to Ashur. And seems to be quite complacent. They've got success. They're under protection because Ashur is not attacking them. Ashur is attacking all the countries around them. And they're culturally serving Avodah Zarah. The Beis HaMikdash is closed at this point in time. The Beis HaMikdash is not operational. There's a Assyrian altar in the Beis HaMikdash. This is what's happening. So what does Yeshayahu say to this? So the first thing he says, then in the section runs from Pasuk Hey all the way to Yud Aleph. In this section, he talks about how Ashur will be the tour. He said the tool. He says, "Hi, woe, Ashur Shevet Api. Ashur, Assyria, is going to be the staff of my anger. Umatehu biyadam lezami, and he's going to express my anger in this world. I will let Israel be rebuked in the hands of this nation." But the problem is this nation, Assyria, will think it's really going to actually be his own doing. He thinks he'll conquer Jerusalem like he conquered all the other lands. And what Yeshayahu is setting up over here is the sort of the balance between Hashem's plan, Hashem's decree, that Hashem wants to get a seek retribution ultimately from Israel via Assyria, but the free will of that nation who thinks and assumes that they're the ones in charge while doing it. It's interesting that Yeshayahu has now pivoted out from thinking and speaking and addressing the people of Israel and Yehuda specifically, and it's almost like he's pivoting out towards the world and giving a international address over here. So what does Hashem do to respond to this misnomer? So in the next section, where it runs from Pasuk Yud Beis to Tesvov, Yeshayahu says is that be very careful when Sennacherib comes to you to besiege Yerushalayim, then Hashem will take revenge on him for his arrogance. And he says the famous pasuk, which is a very, very powerful idea, which is, will the axe be arrogant against the person who is waving it? Will the saw act haughtily to the person who is wielding it? Meaning to say, you, Assyria, are simply my instrument for seeking retribution against Israel. Don't act arrogantly, because I wield you. I'm using you. Sancheriv is simply the instrument of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There'll be a day where Hashem will send a fire against Ashur and completely consume them. And Israel will be the epicenter of this fire, which will disintegrate and incinerate everything around them. All that will remain of Assyria on that day will ultimately be countable numbers, meaning you'd say you could count how many people will be left in Assyria after that devastation. It is fascinating to notice that this is obviously referring to ultimately when Ashur and Sancheriv will come arrogantly to Jerusalem after having vanquished the north and the areas of Yehuda and be decimated in one night, miraculously, on a one-night stand. So Yeshua is pivoting out into the greater future at this point in time. Finally, the last section of this perek over here, running later on, well, there's a mini section from Chof to Chof Gimel, where Hashem says the return to Hashem will happen this time. He talks about again how Israel will no longer look to her abusers for support. Remember, Israel's making all these deals with Mitzrayim, with Ritzin of Aram, and then all these other nations around them trying to find place among their enemies against bigger enemies. And he says you're not going to have to try to trust them in the future, because Shor Yashuv, the Jews will return, like the son of Yeshayahu was named Shor Yashuv, the Jews will return to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But make no mistake, says Yeshayahu, it'll only be a few of them. Even though they went out kechol hayom, they went out like the sand of the sea, it'll be small amounts that return, because ultimately not everybody's going to be deserving. A very terrifying prophecy. Finally, Yeshayahu closes up this parak by talking about to the final return to Hashem. And he basically says to Yehuda, to the nation in the south, and he says, don't be afraid of Ashur, because Assyria is going to be destroyed pretty soon. He may inflict a lot of pain, but does not have the license to wipe you out at all. Be like Mitzrayim. A lot of you will be hurt, but you will ultimately supersede this. The destruction will be fast, like the times of Midian was destroyed, the times of Gidon in Sefer Shoftim. And he mocks Sancheriv, and he talks about how Sancheriv is huffing and puffing and going from city to city to get to Jerusalem, because he thinks it's going to be so easy, and boom. He rushed to get to Yerushalayim by nightfall, but Hinei Adon Hashem Tzvakos Misoev Pura B'maratzo. Hashem is going to break you down. V'romei Koma Guduim Ba'Guvoim Yishpolu. Hashem is going to decimate all your highness, and your haughtiness is going to be brought to the ground in the end of the day. It's interesting to think that, as this is the end of the parak, that it's funny that Yeshayahu is talking at this point in time, which we can assume is at the times of the realm of Achaz. But he's talking about the future, the times of Yechizkiyahu. Why is he going outwards? Why is he moving towards the future? And I wonder if the truth is the following. Is Ahaz has just made a treaty with Assyria. The people, the Jews of the south, feel very comfortable being Assyrian subjects at this point in time, because they feel that maybe they're safe. We know there's already distrust. We've seen a little bit of distrust. Ahaz has changed the door combination of the Beis HaMikdash, so Assyria can't perhaps get in. And there's a little bit of distrust coming in the future. So Yeshayahu turns to me and says, don't think that Assyria is your friend. Assyria is going to seek retribution from you. But at the same time, remember that he's my tool. So in the same way that he's going to decimate you, the same way he's going to be decimated. And that's ultimately what Yeshayahu is trying to get to broadcast to them, is don't think it's them. Don't think it's anyone else. It is you and your relationship to Hashem. That's what comes, that's what goes. Every else is an instrument in that greater plan. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.